Hello and welcome. My name is Darren Russell and I'm just your average creator. On this show, I talk to people from all walks of life about how they use creativity in everything from business through the hobbies to inspire you, the audience, to get out there, dream big, get creative. Episode 4, where we're going, we don't need a degree. I guess we'll just get back into it. Third time's a charm. As you can see, we've changed environments a few times on both sides, but we should be good now, which is good. So my next question for you was, has there been like a really exciting project or like the proudest moment of your freelance career to date that you could sort of walk us through or talk about?
I guess there's kind of two moments that come to mind. First, chronologically, the second one was last year when I opened my first solo exhibition.
Sweet.
That was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
But the other one that comes to mind that really got me buzzing was I worked on quite a long campaign that had like, I think it was 14, maybe 15 illustrations on them in it.
Oh, wow.
And each one was like somewhere between 30 and 50 hours of work. I was working on and off on this for the better part of a year.
Wow.
There was a unique moment of gratification where like they turned one of these illustrations into like a physical model.
Right. That's awesome.
It was just like absurd. I spend hours and hours and hours working on these things. Like each of my illustrations takes anywhere between anywhere between 30 and 45 hours.
Right.
Sometimes in the more extreme cases, anywhere up to like 120 or 160 in a couple of cases. The project culminated with making like this physical model of one of the illustrations.
Yeah.
It was like this massive flying city machine thing.
That's so cool.
There's this enormous trade show. So the client was an engineering company.
Right.
They make parts that go into like so many things. They're just basically the idea is that the stuff they do just kind of underpins so much of like the mechanical world
right.
we exist in. And that was what the campaign was about. And so there's this enormous trade show in Germany called Hesse.
Okay.
It's got like an attendance in well into the tens of thousands.
Oh, wow.
IMI had this, had a booth there that, maybe 150 square meters or something like that.
Right.
And they had this 4 meter by 4 meter physical model of this illustration.
Oh,
I did. the illustrations like enormous up on the walls on their booth, on their stand.
Yeah.
I discovered afterwards, like I wasn't able to go to the show because I was back here in Australia at the time.
But then
I discovered afterwards that Barack Obama had opened the show.
Oh, shit.
And I have absolutely nothing to base this on, but the idea that he was there and saw something that I'd made.
That's pretty cool.
It was like, yeah. So.
Yeah, it's like, I just did that.
yep, that's real.
Yeah, wow. That's awesome.
So just like, I don't know, there was just something kind of special to it actually becoming like a physical object.
Yeah.
That just kept me buzzing for. Yeah, and like when I saw the videos of it getting made, and the videos they sent me of like the stand, and like
right,
I don't know, I've never felt anything quite like it. It's just like I don't know, I just imagine it's yeah, I don't know, I have no idea whether I have no idea what like there was some kind of chemical reaction going on in my body.
Yeah,
it was like basically like a smack eye.
Yeah,
I lasted for like weeks.
That's crazy.
But
I can totally imagine that though, because like there is something about seeing something physical and tangible. And like, I still like to draw a pen on paper or pencil on paper, just because it's like, you get to see it, you get to hold it. And sometimes I think that's cool. And, but that's on another level, because it's like this thing that you created from just bits and pieces and made yourself from scratch, and then just went and built it, and it's working and moving, and that's crazy.
Yeah, it was just, ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's a pretty good moment to be proud of, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, my only regret is that I wasn't able to be there to see it.
Yeah.
But I will.
Next time.
If I ever get to do that again.
Yeah, like, make sure you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're talking about with your artistic style. It's very specific to you. Like, I haven't seen a lot that's like yours. So it's unique. What kind of tools do you use for this?
In terms of creating the art, or like?
Yeah. So like, cause I think I saw you use, some like 3D tools, and you just use your own photos and like digital SLR and stuff like that.
So like, yeah. So, okay. So I'm not doing a ton of 3D at the moment. I haven't done a whole lot of 3D in the last 18 months.
Oh, okay.
Because my current series is entirely like, based on my photography.
Oh, interesting.
So my current series is like it's a series of illustrations of animals.
Yep.
And each one is like photographically manipulated out of various landscapes.
Cool.
Where possible, where it's been manipulated out of landscape that it's like native to.
Right.
And so like this thing started with me toying around with like photography I took just while I was traveling, on holidays and travel photography. And then it kind of escalated into like, it's escalated in the last year or so into me traveling to places.
Wow. That's cool.
Well, I mean, it's a nice way to justify going and traveling around and going on holidays.
It's like, I'm doing this for my work.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Work.
Work.
And I'll take like thousands of shots, and I'll just like, actually I'm doing one. I'm actually in the final stages of one of these like right now.
That's awesome. So if someone was to say start out and want to do something similar, like with photo manipulation, or like not obviously the same because we don't want people copying, but like, is there a way to get around using a digital SLR? Like, not even, like, maybe just using, like, a camera phone? Like, obviously, it's not the same resolution, but they're getting better and better as the years go by.
Yeah, they are certainly getting better.
Yeah.
Actually, to be honest, what I've found is, like, I don't know if you might maybe heard this saying, like, there's this idea that the best camera is the camera you have with you.
Yes.
Like, it's like, it doesn't matter how great a DSLR you might have, or like you might have like a $30,000 Hasselblad. It doesn't matter if it's not with you when you need to shoot something.
Right.
And so I actually experimented with this because a couple of years ago, the Google Pixel 2 phone came out,
right,
and the quality of the camera on it was like ridiculous.
Right.
And I had tried to get around it. Well, I wouldn't have tried it. I thought, oh yeah, I can use this to shoot stuff when I don't have my camera with me.
Yeah.
The problem I found wasn't the quality of the images it was taking. In daylight, like when you're in broad daylight, the quality of the images is kind of actually almost on par with the DSLR. Right. So, like the quality, like the problem is the lenses.
Right.
Oh, the lens, sorry, because you're basically stuck with this like wide angle 10mm lens.
Got it.
Can't zoom in on things.
Yeah.
And when you are close to things, you're getting so much lens distortion that it makes it harder to blend things together in a compelling way.
Oh, like, so
when I'm shooting with the DSLR, most of the time I'm shooting at a focal range of about 120mm.
Right.
So like the subject is usually a piece of landscape that's quite a long way away.
Right.
Or it's like, I don't know if you've seen some of my illustrations of birds made up of leaves.
Right, yes. And
the way I'll make those is I'll pick up these leaves wherever. Actually, the first one was just some leaves outside my office. I brought them back, rigged up a little, like, rigged up a little studio,
yeah,
and then shot them. And even then, I'm still shooting them at quite long focal lengths.
Right.
So it's kind of hard. I guess this is all a roundabout way of saying it's kind of hard to get around.
Got it.
Some of those, like the cost prohibitor of a DSLR.
Right.
Although I should be worth, it's probably worth pointing out that my DSLR is actually, like, I have a 6 year old, my hit's a 6 year old DSLR. With a very nice lens, or a couple of quite nice lenses, but
yeah,
still, it doesn't, you don't need great hardware to shoot to make nice stuff.
Yeah, because that's always something I find for me, like with art, I'm like, you know, just give me a scrap piece of paper and a pencil and I can still do something, right? But like, I know when it comes to more technological stuff, there's a certain level that you can't push past, or you can't get around, sort of like what you're saying.
But there are ways to get around all kinds of things, and then there's like a lot of my earlier stuff was just like stock images. Like images I just found on, like, like when I was practicing and learning, a lot of the stuff was just stuff I got on like Google search.
Gotcha.
Or like there was a whole bunch. There used to be a whole bunch of like free stock websites that was so good.
Yeah.
And then basically either Adobe Getty Images and Adobe Images bought them all out.
Right.
And then started charging for the same material.
Those conglomerates for sure. So you talked about like traveling for your projects. You've also mentioned before that you sort of travel with your work as well. You enjoy traveling a lot. Is that kind of a passion of yours, would you say?
Yeah. And well, maybe not so much the actual logistics of travel. I don't enjoy.
That's fair.
The exploration of travel I really like.
Right.
Like going to new places and seeing things. And I find like as I get older, I think most people experience this. It feels like time is speeding up.
Yes.
But like when I'm exploring somewhere or going somewhere new, seeing things for the first time, I lose that sensation. Like,
oh, interesting.
I think it has to do, like my theory is that it's got something to do with like just our perception of time is closely linked to how well our memories are working and like when our minds are recording new information.
Oh, so
if you're doing right. something in a routine every day, like routine days just disappear.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. But then like when you're exploring when you're out exploring somewhere and everything you're seeing is new, your mind is
working a lot harder.
Yeah, I did travel a little bit for client work as well. And so that one thing I do like about that, even though I don't like traveling to get to the client, it is a good like because Australia is ages away from everywhere, as you know.
Yeah.
And if I can get somebody else to pay for my flights to get anywhere else,
it's a win.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Exactly. Because that's like something like we were talking about earlier with architecture, like how you need a license. And then if you move countries or sometimes states, there's like different rules or different licenses that you need to get to do that kind of work. Like that's one thing that I've loved about being a designer. I was able to go live and work in London for a year and a bit. Then I've been able to come here and get my visas and stuff like that, all because of my kind of job. And I didn't need to reskill up or do anything specifically just to work. Like that's a real benefit. Like, don't you think?
It's a super transplantable skill.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, there's not a whole lot of other professions where we can do that.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things about it. You don't necessarily have to be working for a big company. You can be working for yourself if you want. And there are limitations to that. And like, I mean, we kind of romanticize that, just like, you know,
work from
your laptop in some hipster cafe somewhere. And like, you know, like there's a cost to it. Like, as I'm sure you're aware, like when you're working for people who are in other time zones, that's going to involve, like having meetings at weird hours of the day sometimes. Like I've had a few cases where like I've been part of a wider team meeting and most of the team is in like the, for example, the UK and the US.
Right.
But if I need to be on the call, I'm probably going to be the only one in Australia on the call, which means I get shafted with having to be awake at 3 a.m. for the meeting.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Usually I can avoid that, but man, it also has the nice benefit as well. One thing I love about being back in Australia.
Yeah.
So like most of my client base is overseas.
Oh, right.
Is that like I have my meetings at the start and the end of the day. And then nobody bothers me during the middle of my day. I can just get work done.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I do very really like that.
Yeah.
It's like occasionally I used to get clients who would just like want to be updated regularly.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
I've got to get work done too, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you can have your regular updates now, but, you know, that's going to involve interrupting your sleep.
Yeah, for sure. So you've talked about as well, you're just recently or like last year doing an art show. You've talked about, so you're working on some more pieces for a new art show. Is that something you're working on?
Yeah. So actually I'm wrapping up one like right now.
Oh, cool.
He's basically set aside like all the next week to finish to keep making work for the show. This one's in Canberra. So it's a continuation of the series that I've been working on. It's a series of animals, like manipulated from landscapes. And these most recent ones I'm doing are animals made from like bushfired landscapes.
Oh, wow!
Trying to like do some stuff based around like these enormous bushfires we've had here.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So I traveled out to East Gippsland with my girlfriend, and we were out there for a few days wandering around through. Hey, it's kind of surreal. Like,
yeah,
it's just, as far as the eye can see, just
devastation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a certain kind of visual beauty to it.
Yeah.
These woodland landscapes where the trunks are all black and all the trees are like this vibrant orange color.
Right.
When really burnt or dried leaves are catching direct sunlight, they're like, they go this really bright orange.
Oh, wow.
And you contrast that with like the dark charcoal black of all the trunks.
Yeah, quite visually stunning.
Yeah. But like at the same time, then we also hear about all these headlines.
Yeah, all the wildlife
Like koalas are, yeah. Like it looks like koalas are going to be functionally extinct in the next couple of decades, and I want to do something that kind of appeals to people like that, and like the proceeds from the sales of those images, I'm going to donate to WIRES.
Amazing!
Just keep putting stuff out there, and this whole thing, putting it on like an art show is something I've wanted to do for ages.
Yeah,
but like the amount of time that's involved. Mm-hmm. Putting together a body of work for it, particularly with my style, is enormous.
Yeah.
And then I had work slow down quite a bit last year. And then I was like, aha, now I have this time. off I go.
That's cool. So like, you know, as like a tip, like for people, like obviously this sounds like it was a goal for you for a long period of time. Like, what, apart from like the time slowing down and just finding the time to actually do it, like did you set yourself any like time frames, or did you want to do it by a certain time, or did you just kind of like jump on the opportunity kind of thing?
It was kind of something I wanted to do for a while, and then work slowed down. I was just like thinking about ways that I could potentially stimulate more work or more income streams, like something else. One thing that was brutally apparent to me was that I needed to kind of diversify my income streams, perhaps.
In case you have another slowdown.
Exactly.
Right. Smart.
And so this was a potential example. Or this is like another way I could potentially do that.
Mm.
There is a part of me as well that was like, if I can get it to a point where I can generate enough revenue from selling prints, I could basically get it to a point where I'm not actually doing anything with client briefs anymore. I'm just making things.
Then it's like just the market dictates like what you're doing. And that, like, I think especially taking note of what's going on in the culture at the time, like what you're doing for the bushfires. Like, that's awesome. I'm sure people are going to appreciate that, and that's going to generate like a lot of goodwill as well, which I think that's good and associates your brand in the right light as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
So like one, and like you mentioned, like, what can you do to, like, I don't know, set up a driver for it?
Yeah.
Once I'd actually booked a gallery, and that gave me like a rock solid deadline that was like,
yeah,
nothing's gonna, like, it's, yeah, motivation suddenly gets a whole lot easier. Yeah.
I've also wondered, how do you set that up? Like, do you just have to, you book the space yourself? Like, I've never thought about how to do it.
I didn't either. I just kind of started spamming galleries with, like, so I made, like, by that point, by the time when I, at the point I, when I decided I wanted to actually put on a show, I'd made four pieces in the series.
Right.
And I basically just put together a proposal and spammed a whole bunch of galleries. But what I learned from that is that, like, if you want to put on a show and you don't want to pay for the venue, you're looking at waiting 24 months for a space.
Oh, wow.
Because like these, all, I mean, like anything free, I guess, but there's a waiting list. So like, that's like a publicly funded gallery.
Got it.
And people apply for it. The other option is you basically pay to use a gallery.
Mm.
You pay rent. So I was like, for the gallery, I was paying like $2,500 a week, for a minimum 2 week show. And I went with the minimum, but like, basically I went with it because like, it wasn't like a, I'm just not that patient really.
yeah, you didn't want to wait 2 years.
Exactly. Going through that path, I was able to do it in like, I think there was about 5 months between when I booked the gallery and when the show was on. I booked it at, like, so the gallery is in like downtown Melbourne on Flinders Lane.
Right.
And yeah, try, I like, as you were saying before, like, so maybe something we can help build profile and potentially like develop new plant leads out of it.
Well, that's also possible. Like, and you might get some like commissions based on like your art style as well. If people see it at the show and they're like, oh wow, that's amazing, but my favorite animals are something like a zebra.
My hope was, because there's a bunch of creative agencies down at that end of the Melbourne city.
Oh, that's smart.
That was my hope. nothing direct like of that nature came out of it.
Yeah.
But it did make that first show. So I managed to get my break even on that show.
Nice.
Forced. But then having that in my resume,
yeah,
made it easier to book the second venue. Because once I had that there, I was able to get. I was able to. And like the venue for this one is a free venue.
Oh, sweet.
I wasn't getting any kind of feedback like that.
And then that's obviously going to help you be able to pass on those proceeds to fire relief stuff. So that's good.
Yeah. And so like this one is, I'm trying something else this time. I'm taking over the gallery space is kind of like the foyer or the atrium of this hotel. It's a pretty smoky hotel too. It's kind of a clever idea on the hotel's part too.
Yeah.
Just in terms of like branding themselves.
Yeah.
Presenting themselves as like fairly swanky.
Yeah, for sure.
But like the idea I'm toying with here is that like it's a fairly expensive hotel. So these are the kind of people who are willing to pay like $600. For a print, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're going to be walking past it on a daily basis. So,
yeah, that's a theory.
That's a theory I'm toying with anyway, instead of a dedicated gallery.
It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Yeah. Like, I'm not really an inverted commas artist in the sense that, like, some of the people I met here in Melbourne,
right.
I'm, I feel like I'm maybe a bit more pragmatic.
Yeah.
In that, like, I just want to make revenue from the prints.
Well, so I think that's I think that's the graphic designer in you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess my point is I'm not coming from this with a wholly conceptual, like...
Right. Like a thesis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like a study in the movement of birds as they fly in...
Exactly. Building.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, my work does still feel a lot more like illustration.
Yeah.
To me, at least, anyway. Something that's more high art, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I get you. All right, so what sort of advice would you have for, like, a young creative who's trying to figure out their style, or, like, they don't know where they want to take their career yet? Like, they just know that they're interested in creative things. Like, what do you suggest that they, like, do to get started?
So the first thing I'd suggest is, if you're still at uni or still studying,
mm-hmm.
like flog that for everything it's worth. Like, and what I mean by that is, like, you're in this place where, like, you're not necessarily, you have this framework of thing of deadlines and outside stimulation in the forms of, like, assessments and things like that.
Yeah,
it gets harder to keep yourself motivated to do that for longer periods once you're outside on your own. And you've got all these resources and you've got all these lecturers. So, like,
gotcha.
While you're at uni, make the work, or start playing with, like, making the work or experimenting with the work that you think you might want to do outside.
Got it.
So, like, if you want to get into, like, fashion photography, start doing it at uni and using, like, the studio at uni, things like that. Like, experiment to help, like...
Yeah.
And then, like, one thing I did at uni was, like, I reshaped basically every assessment I had into something I actually wanted to do.
Yeah, see, that's smart. Yeah, that's good.
Like, yeah, just kind of like, yeah. kind of use that as, well, it ended up working out really well for me,
actually.
That's
good.
kind of became a bit of a power nerd. but, yeah, so, like, uni is a great place to, like, develop that, and just, I guess, take the a lot of people take the attitude that uni is a place where you're going to go and get, like, you're going to come out the other side trained in all these skills.
Yeah,
I think a better way to approach it is to treat it like a sandbox,
right?
To, like, experiment in and develop skills in.
Yeah.
And, like, or, like, make sure that you teach yourself technical skills, and instead use the time there and use the lectures to learn more conceptual skills.
For sure.
Outside that, my experience has been that everything is just play.
Right.
I developed what eventually turned into my style in the very last semester of uni.
Oh.
And, like, everything else, I just experimented with all kinds of stuff up until about, like, there was some messy stuff in there. Some of it was, like, a lot of it was just properly awful.
Yeah. but you got to go through that.
Yes, you do. And that's part of it. Like, so, like, everything is just experimentation. And be totally cool with failing.
Yeah.
And if something's not working, don't be afraid to just drop it and try something else.
For sure.
I guess that would be my advice.
With the subject of university as well, do you think it's actually necessary to, as a designer, like, where you can teach yourself a lot of things? Like, do you still think it's, like, a requirement to be a creative?
As in a university?
Like a university degree. Ooh, yes.
So the most successful people I know either didn't study what they're successful in,
right,
or didn't graduate. there is something to that.
Yeah.
I guess there's two elements to that. First is that the industries are moving faster than the degrees are.
Right.
And they're just like, I mean, like, yeah, like a bunch of the stuff that you're going to, like, they're going to teach at uni is going to be outdated within 5 years or even maybe less. And I don't know, maybe it's just like a, yeah, short answer is no. That, like, you don't need a formal education.
Yeah.
Although maybe it might be said that things are easier if you have a mentor of some kind.
Yeah.
But particularly if you develop a mindset and a work ethic where you can teach yourself things well,
that is
way more valuable than a degree is ever really going to be.
Yeah. And I think your advice before as well of like using it to experiment and to play and stuff like that, I think if you give yourself those couple of years, like, you, even if you're not doing the course that you end up following and doing, it might help push you in the direction that you end up wanting to be or where you can be successful. So I think if people go into it in that mindset, it can also help too. Unless they like 100% know and they know they need it, like, you know, medicine or something to that effect.
But, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And there are some things that I did learn at uni that I can't imagine ever learning or being taught elsewhere.
Right.
Like, and a lot of that's the more high level conceptual things about image making.
Yes.
I don't know where I would ever have picked that up. Like, there was a couple of lecturers I had who were just excellent. Thoroughly right. excellent.
Yeah.
And their knowledge and like the conceptual stuff around image making was just like the psychology of the viewer I don't know where I would have picked up some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But on the whole, like, technical skills, like all of the technical skills I use, all of my Photoshop skills and most of my camera skills, self-taught, learn myself.
So going, a lot of your pieces you were saying like 30, 50, some like 120 hours, like, that's a lot of time. And like, I can't help but imagine like I know you'd be focused, but like, that's almost like a lonely sort of expedition. You sort of really, you're in the moment, you're trying to find this artwork in these images that you're working with. Like, do you see that as a sacrifice, like taking that time to do that? And like, yeah, like, well, it does it take those kind of like sacrifices of so many hours to actually accomplish something great?
Yes and no. Like, doesn't necessarily, like, time, yeah. like, you do, like, that kind of sacrifice is not 100% necessary to make something great, but it is the kind of thing that I've stumbled on.
Right.
I'm born into. And it is a part of what makes my work unique, is that there aren't too many other people in the world who are as crazy as I am.
Yeah. To put that much time into one piece.
Yeah. And sometimes to your point, it can be a bit of a lonely existence, which is part of, and like a key part of remedying that is like the space you see around me right now.
Yeah.
Working in a co-working space is, like, in my experience, mission critical.
Right.
Like, working at home alone for 40, 50, 60 hours a week is a good way to go out of your mind.
Yeah.
I learned that one very quickly. I make back the money I spend on renting my desk.
Yeah.
Just in productivity.
In
the billable hours. Because it's like so much easier to keep yourself focused and keep your energy levels up when you got people around you. And you learn things from the people around you.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Sure.
But yeah, there's certainly a sacrifice. There's a cost to it. If I was doing something like it, as I imagine, there's a great many other professions I could be in and work earning a whole lot more.
Yeah.
But, like, the gratification and the enjoyment I gather, this is something that makes it worth it for me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it comes down to eventually.
Yeah, you got to do something that you love, and I think that's awesome.
Like, yeah, just, I guess, my general happiness and contentment with life
is
better doing this. Like, it's like you either, my thinking is you either have to work to live, so maybe you do a job that you don't love so much, but the money you make from that lets you do the things you love.
Yeah.
Or you live to work. But I mean, there is a trick there. Like someone pointed out to me a while ago, or joked to me that, like, you know, the saying, like, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
Well, the joke, and I think there's some truth to that, is if you love what you do, you're just going to work a fuckload.
Like, it's true.
And that's certainly, and there have certainly periods in my life where that's definitely true.
Right.
Actually the last couple of months, like maintaining a client load and also trying to like also
put the line of,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, that's a good way to, yeah, keep yourself a bit very busy.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay.
Likers.
Yeah, and if there was one trait, in a person that you think makes them successful, whether it be in creativity or just people, you know, like what is it? Is it like persistence? Is it like, put that into a few words.
Two answers to that.
Yeah.
First answer is the one that's made what I do possible. And that is a strong work ethic. And that kind of determination will outlast an inspired genius any day of the week. Like, it doesn't matter how talented you are, how smart you are, if you can't knuckle down and do the hours, none of it really matters that much.
Yeah.
Like, I've met some like proper like polymath geniuses.
Right.
In my life who are wildly underachieving. Like, I'm not a particularly intelligent person. Well, no. Relative to some other people I know who are succeeding in the profession, and I don't think I'm an especially talented creative, but I do put the hours in.
You put the work in,
Yeah. The other part of my answer is that, like, a lot of the most successful people I know just have an amazing ability and willingness to work with people.
Right.
And so if your talent is on the people, and you're able to apply that, then, like, like the first person I like that comes to mind for me is the guy I think I mentioned him earlier. Like, he does cryptocurrency conferences.
Yep.
The guy introduced me to Bitcoin. Like, his ability to work with people is just off the charts.
Right.
And that has just facilitated so many things and so many opportunities that just wouldn't otherwise exist.
Yeah.
And like, if you can work well with the client, keep the client happy, you can get through all kinds of stuff. And like in the case of my friend Mo, he brings that work ethic and the people skills together into one, and it's a sight to behold.
Cool. I think that's a good answer. So I guess I was just going to wrap it up here with, like, anything you want to promote. Like, I guess you could talk about your show coming up, or if you want to plug your website or anything like that. Like, let us know how we can follow your work and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, yeah, I got another show coming up in Canberra at the East Hotel in Monaco, opening February 12th. I'm also going to be in another show here in Melbourne at the Flinders Lane Gallery. And that opens May 30. So it's a bit of a way off, but, if you want to follow me, I'm at at Josh Dykrav on Insta. Yeah, I post things very regularly. like one thing I'm doing at the moment is posting like hourly updates. Of like the like so a kind of a Kiishra or showing people how like communicating to people how much work goes into my like how many hours go into my work. It's been a problem. So one thing I've been doing to get around that is posting like hourly updates. So when I'm working, I'll do 50 minutes on, switch on and quite intense.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes off every hour. Uh-huh. At the end of every hour, I'll post whatever's on my screen to Instagram as a story. And then boom, 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 boom.
That's a pretty cool, I like that as a, like a social media content engaging kind of piece. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And like at the end, which I'll save it as a story highlight. And I've got like a time lapse of the whole thing just coming together. Just bam, 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 bam.
That's smart. I like that. It's generating multiple levels of content, like live content to keep people engaged and track the progress. That's cool.
Because typically I won't produce more than one or two pieces in a month.
Right.
And which is not at all suited to Instagram's algorithms. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Seems to work.
Yeah, no, that's sick. All right, well, thank you again for taking the time and going through all the technical issues with me today. It's been great chatting with you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you for having me.
That was part two of my interview with Josh Dykrav. It was a great conversation with a ton of key takeaways. You know, be sure to check out his Instagram account where you see all of his artwork, but more importantly, his stories, where he sort of breaks down an artwork he's currently working on by the hour, so you can really sort of see how it grows and how he builds these things from scratch. It's truly fascinating, so I highly recommend it. After our talk, one of the key things I learned was the importance of knowing who you are as a creator, you know, what makes you tick. For Josh, he learned that freelancing was for him, but knew that for now, at least, he needed some bread and butter clients that give him regular work, and then he has one-off projects here and there outside of that that are bigger. And then even on top of that, he needs to diversify his revenue stream with prints and other stuff, so that if his client work happens to dry up, he has money to pay the bills. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why for me, I've always had a full-time job, so that I don't have to worry about that. The only problem with that is you put a ceiling on your earnings at your wage, whereas as a freelancer, the sky's the limit, however hard you want to work and what you can find. So, you know, like I was saying, you just need to know who you are and what works for you. And just as important as multiple revenue streams, as creators, we have many different facets to our creative sides, to our passion, and we need to find ways to feed that. You know, for Josh, that's illustration, design, traveling, photography, but for me, it's just drawing, illustration, business. You know, we all have different sides, and each part is important, and we need to embrace that to reach your fullest potential. But one of the greatest things that both Josh and I have discovered is how you can use your creative sides to go and live and work all over the world. You know, you don't need any special licenses, you don't need any special training to be able to take a computer, go to a new country, and do work from there. So if you have that inclination, I highly recommend get out and do that. Obviously, once, you know, the coronavirus pandemic is over, because right now it's important that people stay in place and stay healthy and safe. But once, you know, things open back up again, be sure to get out there and explore the world. And one thing I learned during this conversation that I wish I had known when I was at uni or college What is Josh's advice about taking pieces of assessment and turning it into something that you really actually want to work on? You know, there's some projects that you would get that would be great, but other times it's just like, why am I doing this? But if you turn it into something that you really want to work on and then you get something out of it at the end, not only will you be more passionate about it and potentially get a better grade, you actually get something out of it at the end rather than just some old work that you're never going to see ever again. So I really recommend to take like that advice and run with it. Another important thing to do during the schooling time is to experiment, to play around and figure out what makes you tick as a creative. You know, you don't always know right from the get-go, so being able to explore different aspects of the creative space is really important to do. And another thing that Josh and I agree on is that hard work and determination trumps raw talent. So don't ever get discouraged when you see someone that's better than you or whatever. Outwork them. Get out there, work hard, and you too can achieve amazing results. Just look at Josh with his artworks. He spends hundreds of hours on a single piece of artwork. If you can find something that you're all that passionate about, you will be successful too. So thanks again for tuning in. I'm just your average creative, and I'll see you next time.